Hi, good Vach and good Erev Shavuos. That's right, we're almost there. We're in this 3 days, the special 3 days. That's why most people didn't take Tachanun this morning. That's right, the 3 days before Shavuos, leading up to it, and we've got Shabbos coming up, and then we have our 2 days of Shavuos. Anyway, this is Yisachar Wartel, and this is Parshat Bamidbar, and also I'll talk a little bit about Shavuos as well. First, before we begin, I just wanted to mention we have a couple sponsors this week. As usual, Eloi Nishmat's Sarah Bala Bat Menachem Mendel, and also Eloi Nishmat David Ben Sarah Kara. So may their neshamas have an aliyah. All right, hopefully I didn't forget anybody. There may have been another announcement. If so, I apologize. I will certainly tack it on next week. Obviously, we're wishing everybody to be v'simcha and have a refuah. You know, I believe we all know somebody, either in our families or friends to family, who are struggling with, you know, health issues, or people who have lost loved ones recently. So either we want to wish a refuah for everybody, or we want to give people comfort for those they have lost. So again, Eloi Nishmas, the two people I mentioned, and refuah shleima b'kol am Yisrael. All right, so the fact that the Bamidbar is often the parsha that comes before Shavuos is no coincidence. And the Sfas Emes writes that when this parsha falls out on Erev Shavuos, which it does this year, it's extra special as part of the purpose of Shabbos is to prepare for the upcoming week, and as well as general spiritual refreshment. Now, this ties into something I mentioned last week, so if you have not listened to that, I would recommend please listening to that as well, as it's also Negea relevant to these couple days before Shavuos, the days of 48, 49, and 50. So I have counted tonight, but in case you haven't, last night was 47, tonight is the number after 47, tomorrow night is 49, and then boom, we have day 50, which is Shavuos. So we have a whole preparation. We have a day to get into Shabbos, and we have Shabbos to get into Shavuos, and as you can tell, I probably need to get some sleep before staying up all night Shavuos night, which I really hope I can do this year. Also, keep in mind, as far as I know I'm a little off topic right now, you do not have to, and it's certainly a big zechus to be able to, you know, stay up all night, and you can get a lot, but there's an inyan to just stay up even a little bit past, if you can't stay up all night, to even just stay up a little bit more, push yourself, just even if it's only an extra 15 minutes or half an hour, there's an inyan to just try to push yourself a little bit more to stay up, or maybe even get up early, but ideally to stay up a little bit longer than you would normally do, especially, you know, on the empty night when you might like, okay, I just ate a lot, I'm going to just go right to sleep. So try and push yourself a little bit if you can to please learn. And you don't have to learn anything specific. I mean, there is Tikkun Leil Shavuos, of course, and, you know, that's a great thing to say, but feel free to learn anything Torah related, of course. So anyway, as part of this preparation for both Shabbos and Shavuos, and Shabbos will help us prepare for Shavuos, in addition to, of course, actually resting, catch up for it, and there's many other ways in which it can help us prepare for the Chag of Shavuos. And the Sfas Emes gets into a lot of things, you know, including the spiritual time to reflect on Hashem and the world and our place and our family, etc., and our role as Jews, and of course also our Neshama Yetera, and that connects us more closely so that we can hopefully accept Kabbalah's Torah better. And he also brings down the Midrash, which states that the Torah was given with three things, common theme, three, right? In this case, it's Eish, Mayim, and Bamidbar. Right, with fire, with water, and with Midbar. Now, the word Midbar here is a reference to the wilderness where Bnei Israel received and learned the Torah, so Midbar Sinai. However, Rav Aaron of Karlin in his Sefer Beis Aaron explains that the term Midbar is actually akin to the word Midaber, and actually refers not necessarily to the word Midbar meaning desert, but rather the word Dibor meaning speech. Maybe I'll get to it later, how they're related. But Rav Aaron explains that first, the concept of fire and water. He explains that fire is connected to Yirah Shemayim, the fear of Hashem, or the awe of Hashem, which is symbolized by its intense heat. Water is Ahavas Hashem, or the love of Hashem, due to its quenching and life-giving presence. Now, both fire and water spread through wind. Wind fans the flame of fire, and wind carries the clouds of rain. Now, speech is symbolic of wind. So, too, in the Midbar, in the desert, was a place to receive and grow with both fire and water, with the fear and love of Hashem, as they were learning the halachos, and the ways they had to be responsible. The newly emerging nation of Klal Yisrael had to learn so many things, and it was incredibly awesome and fearsome. You know, when you saw, you even heard Hashem, and they saw the voice and everything that the Torah spells and the Gemara gets into, right? It was an incredibly awesome, overwhelming experience, and there clearly was a matter of fear, but in awe, even was a much greater level than just fear. right? And then you had love, like Hashem took care of them. Hashem gave them everything. Hashem gave them the man. Hashem gave them water from a rock. He clothed them, gave them the clouds and a cover, protect their feet, etc. Protect them from arrows, right? So they were able to experience the fear and love of Hashem. And this was the ruach, the wind that carried them. And so too, a person's speech can help carry fear and love, assuming it's done properly. If a person teaches Torah in the proper manner, whether it's to a student or to their kids, you want to imbue with your speech a level of respect, which is connected to fear and awe, but you also want to absolutely couple that with love. And those two things are indispensable. You need both. You need to make sure there's respect and some sense of fear or awe, and you also need to make sure there's love. Now, Rabbi Reuven Tamistit, in his Sefer Machaneh Reuven, has a related but different approach. He explains that fire represents fiery passion and warmness, and that when a person learns Torah, one should do so with warm affection. He also explains that flames rise and strive to keep rising higher, right? They, you know, keep just rising straight up, assuming there's no wind. So too, one must do with Torah, to strive and learn more and to grow to new heights. He also mentions that it is symbolic of Yiras Hashem, which we mentioned. He explains that water goes from a high place to a low place, which is something we know from physics. Most commonly, we see it by mountains and rivers going down, relating to potential energy and whatnot. And it comes from the heavens, the sky in this case, and rains down on earth. So too, Hashem brought the Torah down from the heavens, in this case the spiritual heavens, and gave it to us on the earth, meaning the physical world. He continues to explain that this teaches us to look not at the heights and where things come from, but where they end up. It comes from the heavens, right? Torah comes from the heavens, but it was given specifically to us in the physical world. The rain comes from the clouds above, but it comes down to give water to the world below. Where is it going, right? What is Hashem doing, right? Hashem is giving water to the world. Hashem is giving the Torah to us. The rain fills the oceans, the lakes, and rivers, and ultimately gets into our bodies. We're 70% water. Right? Now, this is also the lesson of our Sinai, which was a lower-than-average mountain, because the goal is not to look up, necessarily. I mean, obviously, we want to look up to remind us of Hashem, but that's not the goal. That's a function of a reminder. The goal is to look at what's being brought down from the heights and make it closer and make it more accessible to us and to the world. Now, the Midbar, the desert, symbolizes the toil or effort that one must put into this world. You need to add water. The desert is inherently dry. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to like add water to a desert and it becomes lush, although Baruch Hashem, parts of Israel are doing pretty well with that, which is kind of almost a nace. Maybe it is a nace. But the metaphorical desert, something which was dry and lacking, we can add Torah to. We can add life to. Both of which are connected to water, right? Water is connected to liveliness and freshness, and water is connected to the Torah. We can add dryness and to the dryness and make it moist and rich and saturated and just incredibly able to just flourish and grow through that moisture. We can work through, whether it's Torah or other issues, in our personal lives, in our Torah lives, and everything, right? And have put forth the effort needed to study and understand the depths of the Torah, right? And work on relationships with Hashem. Now, just as the desert is arid with poor soil, it takes much effort to make things grow, but it is ultimately possible. As we see right before our eyes in Eretz Yisrael, it's also possible to understand Torah properly. Even if you are struggling understanding a certain topic, whatever it is, you're struggling understanding it, do not give up. You may need to take a break. You may need to approach it differently. You may need to ask somebody for help. But don't just take the answer, right? I mean, unless it's something that's so far beyond your grasp. But if it's something that you feel that you could, you just need to work harder and harder, put forth that diligence. And the cultivation of ideas can take root and they can grow and they can flourish. As far as flourishing, we see this, you know, the Har Sinai flourished with plants and flowers. And, of course, we have the minhag to put it in our shuls. Many people have put it in their homes, the table, everything around their homes. So it's very important to notice this idea of being able to flourish and grow. And it's all about the growth process. I mean, that I can go on about that for probably hours. But additional part of Shavuos, which unfortunately we don't have anymore, was the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves that were brought as an offering. Now, the Sfas explains that these two loaves of bread represent Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, right? That's pretty fitting. It takes us full circle. If so, this would be the fire and the water that he mentioned specifically. Now, what is the Midbar? Midbar is the Ruach, right, which we said can be speech. But in this case, it's the motion of the individual who brings them forth. It's the effort, the wind as he passes, right? It's the effort required to bring the bread, to make the bread, grow the wheat. The whole thing going back, it's a laborious endeavor that began with the planting of the seeds of the wheat, which also took a lot of effort and toil, etc. And it also required some level of water and fire. Fire in this case being the heat of the sun, and water, of course, being the rain or watering it through irrigation. And then you use that ruach, your koach, right, your strength, through your effort. It's also your ruach, right? We have a ruach of actions and we have a ruach of speech, and both are important. Now, ultimately, this is a demonstration that when we put forth our effort, whether it's planting seeds of wheat, or whether it's understanding a difficult piece of Torah, or whether it's anything that we try and achieve in this world, certainly it's something that we should be trying to achieve. Ultimately, that should be directed towards Hashem, or what Hashem wants us to do, to help improve ourselves, to help other people, to help the world, and ultimately to help the world's and our personal connection to Hashem. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.